Hey, welcome to a Stonewall's Perspective podcast. In this podcast, Alex gives his perspective on what is going on in the world. It is his mission to bring the light of the gospel into every aspect of life. We hope you enjoy.
Welcome back to the Alex Stone Show. I'm your host, Alex Stone. I'm on a mission to spread the light of the gospel into every aspect of life. And yes, I did say every, including the things that most Christians do not like to discuss, such as politics. It has been a while since I have released a show. There was a lot of personal things happening in my life. Had to pick up an extra job because of just a lot of things going on. But I'm back, and I have someone who you all know very well, someone that I care about. On a personal level and a professional level. He is someone that has been in politics for 40 plus years. He's been an advisor to President Nixon, President Donald J. Trump, President Ronald Reagan. Please welcome my faux uncle, Roger Stone. How are you doing today, sir?
Alex, it's great to be back with you. Looking on social media, I see how consistently you are attacked because you're my adopted nephew, and I congratulate you on that. Just remember, if you were not effective, they would not hate you.
No, you're exactly right, and that is actually one of the rules that you have in Stone's Rules book, something that has impacted my life in the last year or so since knowing you and buying that book. It's a great book. If you guys want to get it, go to stonesrulesbook.com. I recommend it very, very highly. Roger, I want to talk to you a little bit today about yourself. I don't want to talk much about the political scene and what's going on today because it's a bunch of garbage and I absolutely hate it. I want to talk about you and really your upbringing, how you got to where you are today, and just your experience that has led you to where you are.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, you know, I'm not that introspective, but when I was very young, I lived in a very rural area. There were not many kids my age or my size around, 50 miles probably to the nearest, you know, town, gas station, grocery store, so on. So that really means no team sports, no basketball, no football, no baseball, because you can't play those games by yourself. And therefore, I started long-distance running as my athletic activity, and later weightlifting, things you can do by yourself. And I also became a voracious reader, and I really enjoyed reading history and biography. For example, I'm a great aficionado and admirer of Napoleon. Napoleon was, as you know, not only came to power in France, was deposed the first time by the British, sent to the small island of Elba, where they had him under guard. But one night, in the dark of night, he, with a small force of fewer than 200 men, took off for France in longboats, arriving in the south of France and marching with this band of 300 to Paris. By the time Napoleon reached Paris, he had amassed an army of 50,000 men who had joined the little corporal, as they called him, and Napoleon came to power a second time. He built what was considered a model society in terms of reforms, legal reforms, educational reforms, architectural reforms. He really laid the foundation for modern day France. He was then, of course, captured most of Europe and parts of Africa, including Egypt. He was a second time deposed, this time by the British. This time they sent him to the island of Mount Helena, where I am now convinced that they poisoned him, that he died of arsenic poisoning. Why? Well, because they were afraid he was going to come back a third time. So I admire resilience. I admire persistence. I've seen it in not only the Napoleon historically, but saw it in my political mentor, Richard Nixon, saw it very much in the case of Donald Trump. I think it is what defines us as Americans: persistence, resilience, a refusal to stop fighting, even when incredibly outnumbered and outmanned. I survived this horrific assault by Robert Mueller in a corrupted, politically motivated investigation, really because of my faith, which I admit was completely renewed. In other words, I was restored and I was completely rejuvenated in the blood of the cross. I think had I not returned to the church, if I had not returned to my faith in Jesus Christ, I probably would not have survived. Even today, they continue to attack me. They continue to push AI-generated audios that are not me. They take things that you said in 2016. Oh, Roger Stone used the expression bloodbath. Look at this. Yeah, look at it. In the same quote, I renounced violence and said that I was speaking specifically about civil disobedience, which I did see if the 2016 election had been stolen from Donald Trump. So the media cabal, they're very much in bed with the Democrats. These folks are epically dishonest. They're vicious. And they're relentless, particularly when it comes to recycling stuff that they know has been completely debunked or discredited or delegitimized. They'll just wait a little while, then they'll recycle the same garbage yet again. For example, Roger Stone was communicating with a Russian intelligence asset named who called himself Guccifer 2.0, and they coordinated the release of the WikiLeaks disclosures about Hillary Clinton and the DNC. There's so many lies there, you almost don't know how to take them one by one. First of all, I deny that Guccifer 2.0 was a Russian intelligence asset. There's a lot of question about that. The government has never proved it. It's an assertion by John Brennan, who's a proven liar. Secondarily, our limited communications on Twitter direct messages clearly leaked, now we know, by the government. But in toto, it's 28 words, and it took place 3 weeks after WikiLeaks had already released all the material regarding Hillary Clinton and the DNC. So based on the content of the exchange, which is innocuous in itself, and the timing of the exchange, it proves nothing whatsoever. Yet you'll find it all over the media just in the last week where they repeat it. When President Trump saw through my persecution, saw through the fact that I was being persecuted simply as a way to pressure me to testify against him, and gave me a presidential pardon, commuted my sentence, Robert Mueller, or somebody ghostwriting for him, Andrew Weissman, posted an op-ed in the Washington Post that said, Roger Stone was communicating with Russian intelligence assets, with an S. Well, I wasn't even communicating with one, never mind multiple. If you can go to the Stone Zone and look this up, the software being used by Guccifer 2.0 was registered to somebody who worked at the Democratic National Committee. Actually, I think Guccifer 2.0 is John Brennan, if you want to know the truth. But once again, they just keep recycling the same lie over and over again. I'll give you another one that's one of my favorites. Roger Stone was in a war room at the Willard Hotel with Steve Bannon, Boris Epstein, John Eastman, Kenneth Chesbrough, and Rudy Giuliani. Well, first of all, I've never been in any war room in the Willard Hotel. If there was one on January 5th or 6th, I was not in it, and I know nothing about it. I do know Rudy Giuliani. At that time, I didn't know any of those gentlemen, having never met any of them. Since that time, I have met Boris Epstein. I don't know Chesbrough. I don't know Eastman. Never had any contact with them whatsoever. And even the Washington Post confirmed that I was not involved in their efforts to delay the count of the electoral vote. So, but you're going to see it again and again and again. Or not, another one of my favorites. Roger Stone met with the leadership of the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys on the night of January 5th. That's a lie, too. Completely false. Oh, Joshua James, an Oath Keeper, was in Stone's suite at the Willard Hotel. Well, I did have a room in which I slept in the Willard Hotel. I guess Joshua James dropped my suitcase off. I'm not sure I ever saw him. By the way, Mr. James testified under oath in a New York City police inquiry in which he said that no, Roger Stone was unaware of anything that we were going to do on January 6th. He had no advance knowledge, nor was he involved in any of it. But of course, you won't read that anywhere in the media. So sorry for the rant, but I really had to clear the air on the smear du jour. I talked about this on the Stone Zone on Friday. I also talked about it on my WABC radio show coming up this Sunday. Nancy Pelosi brags about this. It's called the wrap-up smear. You take a piece of disinformation, something that's false, you feed it to a friendly reporter, they then publish it, you then point to that publication as proof that it's true. You see, Your Honor, Yahoo.News said the Steele dossier is real, therefore it must be real. As Nancy says, you merchandise it. You have to repeat it over and over again. This woman admits to her crimes in an interview. It's really quite extraordinary.
You know, I'm very intrigued by everything that you just said, especially all of the lies that have been against you. There were three things that I really took away from everything that you just said. There have been lies against you, but you've had faith and you've had resilience. So I want to read a passage of scripture that has impacted my life and may have impacted yours at one point as well. But Isaiah 40, 31 says, though youths grow weary and tired and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. And I believe that your life is a testament of that, especially after giving your life to Christ and the blood of cross of Christ on the cross, redeeming you from your sin, that you mounted up with wings like eagles. You ran and did not get tired. You walked and did not become weary. And I think that's just an amazing testament of how good our God is. I want to talk about some of these lies. You mentioned, the Russia hoax. You mentioned the, assassination of congressman hoax and a few others. But you mentioned Steve Bannon and I know you like. I know you don't like Steve Bannon. Can you tell my audience why you do not like Steve Bannon?
Well, this is very simple. I don't talk about it much, but Steve Bannon testified under oath before the House Intelligence Committee, as I did, and he was asked specifically whether in 2016 he ever spoke to Roger Stone about WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, or these allegedly hacked and published emails. And he said correctly, no, I did not. He was asked whether he was sure. He said, no, I did not. Then, to my surprise, he was Robert Mueller's surprise witness at my trial. He was asked the exact same question. Did you ever speak to Roger Stone about WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, or these allegedly hacked and published emails? And he said, yes. Stone brought it up in every phone conversation we had in 2016. I considered Stone our contact point with WikiLeaks. Well, that's not true. None of that is true. They can't both be true. Both statements were, of course, under oath. Now, the Bible teaches us to forgive those who have trespassed against us. This is one of the hardest things to do when people like these federal prosecutors or members of Congress like Adam Schiff literally try to destroy you, try to destroy your life, your family. It's very hard to forgive them, but through prayer and concentration, you can do so. So I have forgiven Steve Bannon. I realize that he himself now has problems. He will go to trial in New York State in May because he has alleged that he pilfered $15 million from the Build the Wall Foundation and essentially put it in his pocket. So he is now up against the same system I am. I was. I don't know whether the charges against him are accurate or not accurate. I don't attack him on social media. I don't talk about this very often. I've forgiven him. I haven't forgotten. The Bible doesn't tell us to forget. The Bible tells us to forgive. And frankly, I have forgiven him.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you have forgiven him from his trespasses against you. I do want to take a shift now. Because I'm intrigued with what you have to say and your opinion on this. But Congress is obviously in disarray with everything going on. Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to be voting to oust Speaker Johnson. There are many Republican Congress members that are resigning and taking a step away from Congress. What in the world is going on? Why is it happening? And do you have any hope for the United States of America, Congress in particular?
Well, it's all very perplexing. Our margin should not be as narrow as it is to begin with. So, in all honesty, I think that Speaker Kevin McCarthy undermined a number of Republican candidates in the last election, withholding funding from them or recruiting people to run against some of the strongest and most articulate America First congressional candidates. Fortunately, some good men and women did win, like Corey Mills of Florida has emerged as a star. Look, I have been extraordinarily critical of Anna Paulina Luna. We've had our past differences. They got pretty raucous. But I must say, as a member of Congress, I thought that she would be a DeSantoid. And she turned out to stand tall for Donald Trump. So I'm also capable of admitting a mistake. On the other hand, good candidates like R.J. Majewski, J.R. Majewski, I always do that. Majewski, my pal, I think he was undermined. Mike Crispy in New Jersey, undermined. Laura Loomer in Florida undermined. So we end up with a very thin majority. Now, I fear that former Speaker McCarthy, in an act of bitterness, is seeking, if I can't be the head of majority, well, I'll make sure there is no majority. So I think he's working overtime, where now I think we control the House by one seat. That's not really reassuring. Also, there is no cohesion within our caucus. So if, for example, someone called to the floor Marjorie Taylor Greene's motion to impeach Joe Biden, my guess is we don't have enough votes to do that because there's a subgroup of establishment Republicans who, despite overwhelming evidence of criminality and high crimes and misdemeanors, don't have the belly to vote to impeach Joe Biden. The Democrats had no problem whatsoever impeaching Donald Trump based on the flimsiest of evidence. The Ukrainian phone call, that was a cover-up of Joe Biden's efforts to leverage federal funding to try to call off an investigation into his own son's activities. So the Ukrainian impeachment was really a cover-up operation. It wasn't about Donald Trump at all. It is very disappointing. I think Mike Johnson is. I don't think he's a bad man. I think he's a true Christian. I think he is really a conservative. I think he is loyal to President Trump, but I don't think he's strong. I really fear that we're looking most likely very soon at House Speaker Hakeem Jeffries. Jeffries, by the way, specifically accused me of trading my silence regarding alleged crimes by Donald Trump in return for a pardon. That is false, but I can't sue him because he has congressional immunity. So I'm praying over the entire situation. My guess is that we will lose control of the House in the near future. It'd be nice to hold on at least to the status quo until November of 2024. The good news is I have high confidence in the new leadership at the Republican National Committee. Chris LaCivita, who is a political operative from Virginia, to my mind, one of the toughest, smartest, most capable strategists and operatives and organizers in the party today, has, with President Trump's blessing, taken the operational helm of the Republican National Committee. I have high confidence in him. I think putting Lara Trump there was a stroke of brilliance because it reassures donors that their money will be well spent. So I would like to get to this November's election still in the majority in the House, come back with a stronger majority, which I think is entirely, entirely possible. But we shall see.
Who are some of the strongest candidates that you see running for this election in Congress? Then move on to Senate as well after you answer the Congress question.
I'm not prepared to answer that question without thinking about it extensively. So, for example, I'm very happy that Brendan Gill won his primary in Texas. He is a standout candidate, in my opinion. I'd like to see more people join the subgroup of, I don't really want to call them renegades, radicals, call them whatever you like, the people who took down Kevin McCarthy, because McCarthy broke his word on every key issue, whether it was spending, whether it was releasing the January 6th material. I mean, he would say anything necessary to get the votes to become speaker, but then once he had the job, he didn't keep any of those commitments. It's beginning to look like the same is true of Speaker Johnson. So I would need more time to put together a list, but there are many good men and women running, I'm confident we can actually build a stronger margin in the House if we can just get unimpeded to the next election.
Certainly. Roger, thank you so much for taking time to come on my show. Where can people find you? Where can people support you?
First of all, we do a daily show called The Stone Zone. You can find it at rumble.com/Roger Stone. That's rumble.com/Roger Stone. You can also go to stonezone.com. You'll find all of the shows also posted there, including live, as well as my WABC radio commentaries and interviews. This weekend is very exciting. General Michael Flynn joins me on WABC radio to talk about his incredible new biographical film, Flynn, also to talk to us in hard and honest terms about the dangers facing America. So I urge people to tune in for that. That is Sunday, no matter where you are in the country or the world, 4 p.m. Eastern time, you can listen by going to WABCradio.com. Alex, thank you. It's always great to be back with you. And I'm very happy that you renamed your show, The Alex Jones Show.
Thank you so much, Roger. And something that I like to do for you, guys, if you go to MyPillow.com and use promo code STONE, it helps Roger out tremendously. He's been attacked left and right from the DNC and a bunch of lies, and it's absolutely drained him financially because he's had to fight back with lawsuits. So please go help him out financially by going to mypillow.com and using promo code STONE. Also, please like, share, and subscribe to this podcast. It helps me out a lot. Roger, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you all for listening. God bless you all and goodbye.
Thank you and God bless you, Alex.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. We hope you enjoyed. You can also check us out at Stonewall's Perspective on Facebook and Instagram to keep up with the latest news. Stay anchored.